Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 169 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to take a little bit of a stroll down musical memory lane, and I'm going to talk about Garth Brooks a lot. I'm just going to throw that out there. We're also going to talk about a show we've both watched recently that Melanie did not care for. I liked a little bit more, and then something that we've both been watching that we really like a lot. We're going to talk about some beauty products we've tried. We're going to talk about a trip that David and I just took to New York. So all kinds of fun things in store on this episode. I just want to remind you that if you have not joined us yet on Patreon, we would love to have you there. It's two bonus episodes a month for $5 American. Usually a closer look episode where we talk about something we're super interested in, and then a Q&A episode where we answer questions. So, it's patreon.com/bigboo, and we would be so happy for you to join us. Alrighty, y'all, here we go with episode 169. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Bee Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And it sounds like Gladys has taken her leave and is no longer residing in your house.
Gladys packed her bags and she is on her way. But I'm going to tell you that she gave it a good fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, she hung on a lot longer. You know, the thing about a cold is you're like, well, this seems like it's lasting a lot longer than a cold should last,
right?
You know? And then when you're coughing and you're so super congested and you can tell you have all that respiratory stuff going on, and then people want to start talking about the coronavirus.
Listen.
You know, then you start thinking, well, have I been to China? Have I been around anybody who has been to China? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? But I'm glad to say that it did not appear to be the coronavirus, and I am back to my somewhat normal self.
Well, David and I went on a trip this past, we kind of took a long weekend for his birthday and went on a trip to New York. And I thought while I was traveling, I was like, between the plane and the subway and, you know, just all the things, as much as you try to wash your hands and sanitize, I was like, oh, there's no way I won't catch something. And sure enough, my nose and my throat started kind of had a little tickle when we flew back Sunday, and here we are. I'm in it with one. So,
Well, you don't sound that bad in the whole scheme of things.
No, I'm not super congested. It's weird. I'm just stuffy and my throat hurts. So
Yeah. And then I feel like that's what eventually turns into, like, it starts with that. And then if we talk to you 3 days from now, you may be in a bad place.
Yes.
I don't wish that on you. I'm just saying that seems to be the trajectory of a cold.
Right. So anyway, I have been on the Flonase. I've been trying to manage it, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, I hope that it goes okay. I felt like I had a couple of bad nights coughing. And then last night we had like a little rainstorm that came through and it blew in a front. And I knew that something else, and I think for us, it's the mountain cedar, had blown back in, because I woke up this morning before my alarm went off because I completely could not breathe through my nose. Like, it's whatever comes through the air at this time of year just kills me.
Well, if y'all would like to hear more about our ailments, we'll be doing a special.
My hip has been bothering me. I think I have some pain in my sciatic nerve.
It's just where we are.
It's life. It's life. So tell us about your trip. Tell us about the big city.
Oh, the big city. It was so fun. We went Thursday. We flew out Thursday, and I had planned this trip as a secret a while back because David turned 50 last week. And so I'd planned it, but then I decided that what would really drive him crazy, he's not big on surprises, and I thought he would really be sad if he missed being able to anticipate the trip. So I ended up telling him about it the week of Thanksgiving, so he would have kind of a couple of months to kind of think about if there was something that he wanted to do that I had not planned or whatever. And I had planned to kind of pack it with shows. I had already, by the time I told him, I'd already gotten tickets for a few things, and so anyway, we went to see To Kill a Mockingbird Thursday night.
Okay.
Which, you know, is maybe my favorite book that I have read a bajillion times. And it was really good. They took some liberties with the story that I won't get into because somebody may see it and I don't want to spoil it. But it's just a little bit different take on the big events are the same, but the characters are different, I would say.
Okay.
And the way the kids sort of circle around and into the story is a little bit different. So that was all interesting to see and hear. And I did take issue with some of the Southern accents, which had been my fear.
Mm-hmm. Because yes, understandably so.
That's always tricky. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we really enjoyed that. And then we went to see Beetlejuice and Friday night. And we went to see Saturday. It was raining and like that, just like drizzly, steady rain, which is just nasty. You know, it was cold. And so it was not fun to be sort of out and about walking around. So we decided that we would go see, like we talked about a couple of different shows and we talked about, well, maybe we can go see if there's standing room tickets or somewhere. Anyway, we went to Moulin Rouge because I really like Aaron Tveit, who stars in Moulin Rouge, and I've never seen the movie or anything, so I was kind of curious about it. We ended up getting regular tickets when we got there because they had a few left, and so we went to the matinee of that, and let me just tell you something.
Yes, tell.
I did not know, and this is not really a spoiler.
Okay.
I didn't know about Moulin Rouge and how it had popular music in it. Well, the Broadway show, it's like popular music on steroids. There is tons and tons. And it's like they use songs that everybody would know and weave that into the narrative to kind of help tell the story. And it's fascinating. And it's fun because, you know, the old story I've told 1,000 times about Tom Hanks saying how he doesn't like musicals because people want to sing about how it's tough to be a train on the train tracks.
Yeah.
So there's always this thing with a musical where it's kind of unfamiliar unless you have listened to the cast recording beforehand. Mm-hmm. But all the songs were super familiar because it was all stuff you've heard. It's Rolling in the Deep. It's, you know, I don't know. I can't. Chandelier. And I Want to Dance with Somebody. And it's just all kinds of different stuff. And it was so fun. It was big and it was loud and it was, you know.
Okay, I love that.
Festive, and so we really enjoyed that. But anyway, Saturday night, we were walking back to the hotel and we were coming by the theater where Chicago is. And I noticed that people were lined up around the stage door. And as I texted you immediately, the guest performer in Chicago right now is Erica Jane from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Uh-oh.
And so they had, you know, the signs up. And so David said, "Is that one of your housewives," as he calls them? And I said, "It is." And so I kind of stood there for a second and I said, "I won't make you stand here with me to see when she comes out." He was like, "No, I'll stand here. I mean, we don't have anything to do." And we were across the street from the theater. And so we waited. And I was like, "No, we can leave. I'm not going to make you stand here, you know, for Erica Jane." And he was like, "Well, you know, what does she do?" And
to explain.
She's married to this attorney in L.A., but she has like this kind of a little bit of a cabaret act that she does. And she, you know, she is kind of provocative and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, "But we can go." And he was like, "No, we can stay. It's fine." So we stayed until she came out of the stage door, and I sent you a picture.
Yes, really, she did.
She had a fantastic top knot situation happening, and really the largest puffy coat I've ever seen. It was
okay.
It would have been a Seinfeld level puffy coat. Like it would have been an episode. Anyway, she came out, and that was that. But it was very exciting for me.
That is very. I mean, won't he do it? I mean, right there, you know.
I know.
What are the odds?
I know.
What are the odds that you get to see Erica Jane right there? So
right there, right across the street.
Okay. Was she a little tiny? Was she tinier in person than you would think?
Well, you couldn't tell because of the puffy coat. Like,
okay. Well, yeah, that's understandable.
The coat was really, I mean, the coat went back, I feel like, a foot off her body. It was.
Wow.
But I think so. What I could tell was that she had really tremendous false eyelashes on.
Okay.
If you can see somebody's eyelashes across the street.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
But her makeup looked fantastic, and she seemed to be very gracious with all the people, and talked to the people on both sides of the line. But we didn't stay to see her get in the car or anything like that.
Okay. I was just curious about the size because you know I've always had this fascination with celebrities and their
sure.
size. And Caroline, apparently, I passed that down because one of the things when we were watching Cheer, when I made Caroline watch Cheer again with me, because I felt like she needed all the motivational quotes in her life,
sure.
and I could reference Gabby Butler and Morgan on a regular basis to her. Was when Morgan at one point weighs herself and she's like, I'm 96 pounds, and Caroline was like, how is she 96 pounds? She was like, she seems like. You know, because Caroline's real athletic and fit, and Caroline was like, she seems like she's about my size, but you know, I don't weigh 96 pounds. And I said, well, because what you can't appreciate is she's probably like 4'11". I said, she's not, you know, I said, you're 5'7". I said, so you're a lot taller. And sure enough, this week I saw that somebody on Gabby Butler's Instagram, because of course I'm following them all now on Instagram, asked her how tall she was, and Gabby Butler is 5 feet tall.
But you think they really have to be. I mean, to get tossed around like that and thrown around like that, they would have to be.
No, you can't do that with a 5'7" girl. You know what I mean? Like, that isn't going to work. That's legs and arms flying at you everywhere, you know? But I was like, so that means Morgan probably really is 4'11" because Gabby looked like one of the taller girls.
Right. Well, I couldn't tell about Erica. I mean, really. And I couldn't tell, like, what kind of shoes she had on or anything like that. But I could tell she was, you know, drop dead gorgeous, of course.
Yes.
Like that was very obvious. But I didn't get a read on if she was a Polly Pocket or what, you know.
Okay.
If she was like Kelly Ripa level, like small little person.
Little tiny, little hands. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay.
So,
interesting.
Anyway, but we didn't see, that was my only like glimpse of, other than the people in the plays, that was my only glimpse of a celebrity while we were in New York. We did on the way, we were on the, going back to the hotel Friday night, we'd gotten a lift, and we drove by, like on the way back to the hotel, we drove by 30 Rock, and there were people like kind of lined up in sleeping bags on the sidewalk. And so we got super curious about that. But I never, like, I don't know if Adam Driver was hosting Saturday Night Live. I don't know if it was that. And so I said, well, maybe it's because of Adam Driver. And David was like, why would anybody line up for Adam Driver?
Yeah, and I like, agree with that.
Because I was like, he's a whole thing. And he was like, with who? And I was like with the kids. The kids love.
With the youth.
They love Adam Driver. And he was like, really? And I said, they do. They love him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got some kind of appeal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew really what that was about or why they were out there. So
Now, speaking of Adam Driver, have you watched A Marriage Story on Netflix?
Yes, I have. Yes,
did you find it to be the most depressing thing you've ever watched? I was like, this is not entertainment. I mean, I get that it was beautifully acted. I thought Laura Dern did a marvelous job in it. But I was like, this is the saddest, most depressing thing I've ever watched.
Well, here's what I have said to everybody I've talked to about it. Now, there are two things I think about when I think about Marriage Story. One is the soundtrack that Randy Newman did is gorgeous. And I listened to it twice today. It is all instrumental. It is gorgeous. It is just all borderline haunting, but so pretty. So I love the music. But here's what I've said to everybody who has mentioned that to me. They got divorced over nothing.
Yeah.
They threw that sucker away over less than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. They really did.
Like,
that was
the most depressing part to me. Really. It was like, y'all did all of this over nothing.
Yeah. It was just crazy. I mean, the whole thing, I was like, I don't like this.
Uh-huh.
It makes me feel ick.
Uh-huh.
I feel depressed. I'm so sad that I watched it. The whole thing, I was like, it's just ridiculous. I did not care for the entire thing.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, y'all clearly have great affection for one another.
Yes.
You have a great rapport together. I know your characters. I understand that. It's not really Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, but those two characters have really deep affection for one another. It was a situation. Yes. They could have had maybe a rough year or two trying to figure out their way through that situation with her career and all of that.
Yes.
But they could have made it.
For sure. That's it. And then you're like, what else do you think is out there? Because there's just going to be somebody else who's going to get on your nerves and, you know, whatever. I mean.
It's going to chew their food weird. Or
exactly right.
You know, like, or have some, like, clear their throat in a really sort of disturbing way that scares you when it happens. Like, they're going to sneeze strange. Like, everybody's got stuff. But
everybody has stuff. If you talk to any of your friends who are married and who are honest with you, and if you get on the road of, here are some things that get on my nerves, not one person is going to say, well, he doesn't do anything that gets on my nerves. Well, they're just not.
If they do,
you need to find another friend.
Because they're lying to you.
They're lying.
They sit on a throne of lies.
That's exactly right.
And listen, same, I mean, like, David could write y'all a novel on the stuff about me that drives him crazy. Like, I have a whole thing where I like to designate money for things. Like, I don't see money in a big pile. I like to designate money. If I could have 75 checking accounts, I would. Like one for, let's just get it all doled out. And so, like, it drives him crazy because I'm always like, I moved this over here for this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why not just leave it? Like, why do we have to make? So there's always stuff about people that will drive us crazy. But what I thought about when I was watching Marriage Story is something that David Platt said when he was our pastor, which is, and listen, there are all sorts of reasons why divorce is sad and difficult and why people choose that path in some cases for very understandable reasons.
Yes.
This story was not one of those. And
no.
But one of the things that he said one Sunday, I will never forget it, was he said, all divorces don't start out acrimonious, but almost all divorces end that way. And when you saw the lawyers in Marriage Story, you were like, well, this, like, sorry, divorce lawyers, but this may have something to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Because at that point, you're fighting to get as much as you can. Like, everybody's fighting for their rights and the kids and the whole thing. And I did not like it. And I thought it was depressing. And
that
I was
place
with you.
That he stayed in Los Angeles.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. And maybe that's part of it, is because I remember, like, when my parents got divorced, and I mean, my dad lived in just some depressing apartments where, like, he'd hang nothing on the walls. So maybe it touched something in my childhood. But I was like, this is very depressing to me, and I can't figure out why y'all can't work this out. Mm-hmm. And I think somebody need to tell Scarlett, hey, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Well, I feel like we've had friends over the years who have gone through hard times and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I just have a personality where, unless somebody has just really crossed some lines, you know, and we don't have to get into what those lines are, but when it's just life is messy and difficult and personalities, you know, get all tangled up and all that, I always say, like, I will never stop rooting for y'all to figure it out. I will never stop rooting for y'all to figure it out. And I had that feeling watching those two, like, I'm just rooting for y'all to figure it out, that there is a way through this that does not involve you breaking up your family. Y'all enjoy one another. You like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Her mom liked him. I'm like, right there, you're winning half the battle because her mom liked him so much. I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't figure the whole thing out. Anyway, Adam Driver, that was the first thing I think I've ever seen him in, where I knew that that's who that was. And I was like, I get that he's a good actor, but I did not like that movie.
Well, Sweet Mercy, they are both so talented. I mean, I did buy into, like, that is a real relationship. They are real people. They were so great. Although I took a lot of issues with Scarlett Johansson's hair. I didn't understand that at all.
No, I didn't. I don't feel like anybody would necessarily choose that.
Ever.
I don't know. But yeah, that was, but maybe they were trying to make her look more like every gal USA or something.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I did watch it, and I'm just as sad as I can be that they didn't figure out a way through it.
Yeah, I know. They should have worked harder on that deal, but oh well.
I have a feeling y'all already know this, but Melanie and I are really enthusiastic about skincare. I have said over and over that skincare is actually way more important to me than makeup, and I look for a certain quality of ingredients. I look for effectiveness, and I especially have to be careful with stuff that is not kind to my sensitive skin. Well, Glossier believes that beauty starts with skin first and makeup second. Glossier is a community-driven beauty brand with products inspired by the people who use them. They have a product, y'all, that's called the Milky Jelly Cleanser. And it is fantastic. It is this luxurious, creamy gel formula that makes washing your face a delight, makes it a joy. And I happen to like that it has a really mild scent. Scents are great and all, y'all, but I don't necessarily need to smell roses when I wash my face. So I love the mild scent. I love how creamy it is. I love how soft my face feels after I wash it. It really is such a great product, and I think you are going to love it. This Milky Jelly Cleanser, it washes away excess oil, dirt, makeup, and it's gentle on your eyes. You don't have to use something separate to take off your eye makeup. It's great for all skin types. Plus, it has really beautiful packaging that looks good if you have it out on your bathroom counter, because guess who does not tuck her products away in an enclosed space? Me. I like to leave everything out. So it's really pretty. Milky Jelly Cleanser is one of Glossier's top-selling products, and it is the perfect way to start your skincare routine. The pH Balance formula has a blend of 5 skin conditioners. It's dermatologist tested, it's hypoallergenic, non-irritating, cruelty and paraben-free. It's tough on impurities, but gentle on your eyes and your whole face for that matter. So get that glowy, dewy skin for yourself by visiting glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. That's a little bit different, so you have to add that extra little step, glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. You can learn more and take the quiz to find out your ultimate Glossier skincare routine. Plus, all new customers will get 10% off their first order on glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. Certain exclusions do apply, and that's glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. Alrighty, here we go. Back to episode 169. Another thing that I've watched recently is something you recommended to me, and I actually started watching it on the plane coming back from New York. And if there were a way to abandon my real life,
yes,
and solely watch it, I would, which is The Morning Show on Apple Plus. Oh my word.
It's so good, isn't it? Like,
it's so good, but here's something that caught me off guard about it, because I kind of expected it would be good. I didn't, You don't think that Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and all those people are going to attach themselves to something unless it's promising and all that.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
The apartments are beautiful. The clothes are beautiful. Everything about it looks great. It's just so, so pleasing to the eye.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you that this is, again, not a spoiler. In the second episode, I think it's the second episode. Jennifer Aniston, her character receives an award, and she goes to this award show, and she wears this red strapless.
Sister, I could write.
It had Melanie Schenkel's name scrawled across the front of it. I thought, if Melanie had to go to a formal event of some sort, this is the number with the matching red coat.
Yes, it was fabulous. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had dreams about it since. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's made me want to evaluate my life to see if there would be somewhere that I could wear that.
It was good.
It is gorgeous. And I love that Jennifer Aniston, and it's part of her character, but I love that she's so attractive and very well done, but she also looks her age, yeah. which I really appreciate. Like, and that's part of the character, is she needs to look her age, but is still so beautiful. I mean, you know, she just, and her style is impeccable. And that red, listen, that red was something else.
Here's what occurred to me yesterday, I think, as I was thinking through it. And I felt like you'll be proud of me for this. I really did. Like, when I had this idea, I thought, I think Melanie's going to be proud of this. Here's what I think they did. I think they, as they mapped out her character, I think her character's name is Alex. I think they said, let's make Alex kind of a modern day Katharine Hepburn. Because if you look at the stuff she wears, like, I don't know if you remember, there's one meeting where she has on these gray kind of pleated pants.
Yes.
With a gray sweater tucked in. And then when she gets in the car, you see that she's got on some black loafers. Like, it's a very kind of classic preppy style, but because Jennifer Aniston is wearing all of it, it looks next level, you know. But she's got a super classic kind of old school look to her clothes. Nothing fussy, not a lot of buttons, not a lot of shiny things, and it's so great.
And a lot of sleeveless, which I feel like is just the reminder of she's not a mere mortal like the rest of us, you know.
That's right.
It's a subtle reminder of most women at that age, you're north of 35 to 40, you're not going on national television every morning thinking, you know, I think I'm going to wear something sleeveless.
Yeah.
You know, that's not,
it's
not where most of us live.
No.
But I loved it. I didn't know. And this was just because I really had read nothing about it. I didn't know anything about it going into it.
I don't either.
And then I'd heard different people say, like, some people were like, I didn't really like it, or so I had hesitated to watch it because I just thought, well, maybe it's not that good. And then one of my friends had texted and was like, hey, I started watching this. It's really good. And I didn't realize that it was a whole play on the whole Matt Lauer Today show. I didn't know that any of that. I thought it was like a morning show when you've got a younger woman and an older woman who are competing for, like, who's more current. Like, I thought it was that dynamic. I didn't know that it had the whole Matt Lauer thing. And so I found it, like, I could not quit watching it. It really worked out that I was sick that week.
Look at the Lord. Look at the Lord. Yeah. Won't he do it? I was the same. I didn't really know what it was about, which I find that most things lately, I don't know what they're about because stuff comes out so fast that you don't have time to pregame it. Like, You don't have time to dig in and do your research. Uh-uh. You just kind of go like, oh, this looks interesting. That's like Cheer. I didn't know what Cheer was about. I didn't know that either. And I think I'm really interested in the dynamics of those kinds of stories, in the Me Too stories, because they are so polarizing between the genders, I feel like. And so it was really interesting. I don't know. And I'm only on episode 5, I think. I think I'm about to start episode 5. But yeah, I find it fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, just wait. I mean, I feel like I felt like those last three or four episodes, it's like I could not quit watching. Like, it was just, it's just bam, bam, bam. Like, it just gets so, I think it's so well done. The acting, of course, is fantastic. The characters, the storyline, I just thought the whole thing was brilliant.
And I told David after we got back home from our trip, I was like, Reese Witherspoon needs to go to Kill a Mockingbird and give it some classes on the Southern accent.
She does, because she's got a good one.
She's got a great one.
Yeah, because she grew up in Tennessee, so she knows.
She knows. She knows what it, and you know, and again, I don't mean to slam To Kill a Mockingbird. It really was beautifully done. It's just, my ear is very sensitive, which I'm sure people feel the same way. People who live in North Dakota probably feel the same way when somebody from the South tries to sound like they're in Fargo, you know, like,
yeah.
it's just, they're just a lot of little nuances that are, our ears pick up on. So anyway, I have loved watching the morning show. And
Well, I cannot wait for you to get all the way through so we can discuss, because it is something else.
Well, that was a good find.
I was real happy about that. And now I'm kind of back in the land of, I don't really know where to go or what to watch next.
Well, you know, Taylor Swift has a Netflix series coming out next week.
Okay, is it next week? Well, I knew it was coming. I know Outlander's coming, so that's good, but I didn't know when the Taylor Swift. So is it a series? It's not a movie?
Oh, it's a Netflix movie. It's not a series. Okay. But it comes out, I think it's sometime soon.
Okay.
I'm gonna let Hazel out. Hold on one
okay.
second.
Okay. Yes, I feel like the Taylor Swift thing, I'll for sure watch. I'll tell you what, Perry and I started watching last weekend, and we had missed it the first time around, but we still have, I think we watched the first four or so. But that country music documentary that was on PBS that Ken Burns did, and it came out like last fall maybe, and we missed it. But you can watch it on Amazon. You have to buy it. But they're rerunning it right now on PBS, and it is so good. Like that was something, you know, it's very rare that there's something that we both enjoy. And we really liked it. And Caroline even got into it. And I'm going to tell you the best part of all of it is it made her want to watch Coal Miner's Daughter with me, which we are going to do this weekend.
Well, that is something else. That's going to be a moment. That's going to be a memory. That's what that's going to be.
That is going to be a memory. I can't tell you how many years I have thrown out. Like, do you want to watch Coal Miner's Daughter? But I think for her, country music, like when is it goes through kind of the evolution, and they really do a good job of talking about like when women came into the industry and Dolly Parton and Patsy Cline and Loretta, and how they really fought for women to have a voice in the country music industry. And so I think it made Caroline view Loretta Lynn in this whole new light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have not seen it, but I read wonderful things about it when it was on. I mean, on social media and in the newspaper, I saw great things about it. So
yeah, it's really good. Like it's worth watching, and they're long. I mean, like each one is like 2 hours with no commercials. But it's, I feel like I know a whole lot about country music now. I didn't know that Hank Williams was only 29 when he died, because you know how people like that, you always think they're super old, mm-hmm. but he was 29 years old.
Mm.
So anyway, it's fascinating. It's really good and really well done. If you have any interest in that at all, I highly recommend.
Now, have we talked about on the podcast the Garth Brooks, the biography that was on, I think it was on, maybe it was on Lifetime. I can't remember where it was on.
I don't know. But I feel like you kind of mentioned it, but I don't remember us talking about it.
It was a 2-part special. It's called Garth Brooks, The Road I'm On, is what it was called.
Okay.
It was 4 hours total. Four hours. I'm going to tell you, I've watched the whole thing about 3 times.
Really?
Well, here's why. One, okay. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
That concert I saw when I was still at State, and he was in concert, and he was just getting started, and Martina mm-hmm. McBride was getting started. That concert is one of probably the most special musical memory I have. Like it was something else.
Okay.
So, also a guy who used to work with my sister, or my sister used to work with him, whichever, probably, I don't know how to say that, but mm-hmm. anyway, his manager is a guy he used to work with my sister. And then I adore Trisha Yearwood. And okay. I adore how he calls her Miss Yearwood. And, but anyway, it's the whole thing from from him growing up, and then his love for music, and then him at Oklahoma State, and then him at, you know, trying to go to Nashville and then going home. And it's just the whole story. And I love how he refers to himself in the third person sometimes.
Yeah.
He's super emotional. He cries at least 19 times. You know, he retired to take care of his girls. And I'm going to tell you something. The way his girls talk about him will put every single one of y'all in the bed. Like,
oh, I love that.
It's just, I don't know. There's just something about him. He's so earnest, which is usually not a characteristic in people I'm super drawn to, because I need people to be a little bit more sarcastic and maybe just mm-hmm. slightly jaded. But he's really earnest and really kind and really loves the people he's worked with. And he's so loyal, and it's just a delight to watch. So it really spans his whole career. I don't know that it's still coming on, but I'm sure you can look it up somewhere, you know. I mean,
okay.
You can Google
it. I just saw it's on Hulu. You can watch it if you have Hulu. So, and it looks like maybe on Amazon but you'd have to buy it, Amazon Prime. But that's, listen, I just put that, you just, my weekend is done. Now I've got Garth Brooks and Coal Miner's Daughter with Caroline, done and done.
And I love that. I love to hear stories of songs. Like, I love to hear how songs came to be. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's some of the little bits and pieces of it. You'll think, oh yeah, I remember hearing that. But like, I will never forget being in college and these boys that we used to hang out with all the time. I will never forget one of them, like, seeing the Garth Brooks CD on top of their CD player at their apartment and mm-hmm. us listening to it over and over and over. I don't know. There's something about him that's just infectious to me. And it's really, it's so fun to watch and to hear the story of his career from his perspective. So,
yeah. Yeah. I feel like I remember Garth Brooks so vividly. Like, I remember too, I remember when The Dance came out that I thought it was the most beautiful, saddest song I'd ever heard. I loved it. It was just, it was so unlike anything else I'd ever heard. And then I think it was my freshman year at A&M, or maybe the summer after my freshman year at A&M, when Friends in Low Places came out.
Yes, ma'am.
It was like, this is the best song of all time. Like, it, this is the greatest song of all
Listen,
time. Like,
if you're in Starkville or College Station and there is a song like Friends in Low Places, yeah. well, you have hit your market, is what you have done.
Yeah.
You have,
yeah.
you have teed it up and you have hit that ball and it is a hole in one. You have found your people. Y'all, I have said for years that I'm not much of a jewelry person, but what I have come to realize is that I actually love jewelry. I just like for it to be really classic and simple and something that I can wear for a very, very long time. That is why I am so happy to tell you about a company called Noemi. Noemi believes that luxury jewelry doesn't have to be overpriced, and they cut out the middleman to deliver exceptional fine jewelry without the traditional retail markups. Noemi designs and manufactures everything in-house and sells it directly to consumers with a lifetime warranty and free shipping both ways. I recently ordered a multicolored eternity band, y'all. I have been on pins and needles waiting to get it because Melanie has ordered one of their diamond eternity bands and absolutely loves it. One great thing about Noemi is that you can return any order for a full refund, even engravings and custom designs. It's literally an entirely risk-free experience. It's authenticity guaranteed, and you can even use flexible payment options with no hidden costs and no extra charges. So, if you're looking for quality fine jewelry made to last a lifetime from a luxury brand you can trust, it's Noemi. So you can go to hellonoemi.com/bigboo to see their collections and get $50 off your first purchase with their promo code BIGBOO. That's HELLONOEMIE.com/bigboo. And don't forget to use the promo code BIGBOO for $50 off your first purchase. It's really beautiful. Now, our other obsession lately has nothing to do with television, and I'm responsible for this one.
But, yes, you are.
About, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so, I got an email from the company that helps us with our ads for the podcast that says, hey, have you ever downloaded an app called Best Fiends? And I was like, no, but I will. You know, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And they were just like, well, just see, you know, see what you think. And mm-hmm. and like, I have no idea if Best Fiends is going to end up advertising on our podcast or not. I'm just telling y'all what happened.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it. It was like a Friday afternoon. And here's what I want. I need everybody to understand. I don't play games anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I don't play games on my iPad. I don't sit around and play games. It's just not my thing. I used to do hidden object games all the time. I did one of those over Christmas and it was fine, but it's just not really like a part of my routine. But I don't know what happened that particular weekend, but I started playing it like when, and I don't remember the circumstances, but I do know that I took to it quickly. I took to Best Fiends quickly. Yes. So I texted Melanie and was like, you need to download this game. Like, it's got just the right amount of mindlessness and strategy, But there's a lot of rewards in there, a lot of positive reinforcement to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am still playing it. And so you just told me that you also now are playing it.
Yes. Yes. It started while I was sick last week because I was like, I need something to do besides color by number. I've colored by number to death. And I don't want to play Candy Crush because here's the thing. Candy Crush used to be like my mindless thing. But the problem is after five tries, it shuts you out. And so like I've been at a really hard level for like 4 years now. So I could get on. I try five times. I'm out. And I'm not giving Candy Crush any of my money. I'm not buying extra things.
No, I am not your in-app purchase person. I will. No. Listen, I will outwit. I will outsmart. Yes. I will outlast. I will not buy your in-app purchase.
No, I'm not interested in doing that. So that's not happening. And so I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I'm going to do Best Fiends that Sophie told me. And I'm going to tell you that I am now on. So, I mean, like as of a week, and I don't know what level you're on. I'm on level 114.
Okay. We're pacing about the same. No, I'm on 160 something.
Okay.
But that's significant. What is it about it?
I think the thing is it's a little bit challenging, but it's not super challenging.
Right.
So it's like you can pretty much, I mean, like I get some levels that it'll take me, you know, maybe five tries to get past, but eventually, and here's the whole thing. I don't even totally understand. Like I'm collecting these things and I'm upgrading them
yes.
like for free because I get enough coins, but I don't know the diamonds. I don't know what anything really is doing or what I'm accumulating or what the points are. I'm just trying to get to the next level. And somehow I always manage to, through either dumb luck and or skill, get to the next level.
Right.
But it's mindless enough that I can sit and just play it when I'm watching TV or doing whatever. And it doesn't distract me from whatever the other task is at hand.
Right. And it's like, if you get the little meteor mite things, the gold yeah. ones, if you run low, you just go spin that little wheel and it'll give you something.
Yeah.
Like they're just little things built in where you don't feel a ton of pressure. Like it just gives you a lot mm-hmm. of opportunities. And then there are little side quests you can do. But I'm telling you, I like David said on the plane, I played it the whole way to New York.
Yeah.
Last week. And then he said, when we were sitting in the airport because we had about three delays on our flight coming home, and he was like, I'm gonna write this company and
yeah.
tell them about your that you have taken to their little game.
Uh-huh.
and I'm saying this like I have no idea if they will ever advertise on the podcast. I'm just saying that they have found a loyal player in me, apparently. So
yeah. And me as well now, because I like it. It's a good, and I'm saying like I had pretty much quit playing all games on my phone. I was strictly a color by number kind of girl.
Mm-hmm.
But when I told Caroline, I said, hey, have you heard of the game Best Fiends? And she goes, Mom, she was uh-huh. like, they advertise that on YouTube. That's so basic. And I was like, well, I'm playing Best Fiends and I like it and I'm not going to be shamed about it.
Uh-huh.
So
Alex told me, he was like, Mama, I think people were playing that like 5 years ago. I was yeah. like, well, it's a new yeah. challenge for your mama.
Exactly.
I'm happy to catch up with the times.
That's
I'm saying
right.
if you need a time killer, I had to go to the ENT last week. And
uh-huh.
like, I thought I've never been so happy to have something to do. And because depending on your mood, sometimes social media is super fun to sit and scroll through when you're waiting. But lately it has not been for me.
No, I agree. Same.
And so I was like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to play Best Fiends. I'm just going to, I'm going to mm-hmm. enjoy myself. It's colorful. The noise amount is just right. You never run out of turns. So you can just keep trying. Like, I don't
yeah.
know. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. It is a great way to pass some time
mm-hmm.
just to sit there. So I'm a fan. So thank you for sharing with me Best Fiends.
You're so welcome. I feel like, honestly, I don't know who I am, but anyway, I enjoy it. Okay.
It
so
works.
Do we have anything? We've talked about all our media, obsessions.
Yes.
Do we have anything in the way of health and beauty that you would like
well,
to share with the group?
I do. So I think I mentioned on a couple of podcasts ago that Caroline, because she's like a pig looking for truffles, can immediately sense any beauty product that I have in this home. And so she had been helping herself to my Sunday Riley vitamin C serum
mm-hmm.
and also my Skin by Blair moisturizer, which were both higher end products. Mm-hmm. And she came in to tell me one day, she was like, hey, mom, we're totally out of that Skin by Blair moisturizer. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So this led me on a quest to maybe find a less expensive option for both.
Okay.
So the verdict is still out. Well, I will say that I have a verdict on one. The verdict is still out on the other. But what I ended up buying, because I didn't want to repurchase the Skin by Blair, even though it was good, but it was just pricier. And I would recommend it if you want it. But if your 16-year-old daughter is also dipping into your moisturizer, then you need something else. So I had heard from our friend Cattle Baron in Kashmir, whose Instagram I love to follow. She had talked about the Cica face cream moisturizer that you get on Amazon.
Okay.
So it's, the brand is Meebak. M-E-E-B-A-K. I'm going to tell you, it's $19 for a jar. And she said it totally changes your skin. It's perfect for aging skin. It's great for dry skin. It's great for sensitive skin. So I'm going to tell you that it's $19 for a jar. So it's a great price point. And I have been using it for about a week, and I really, really like it. It has a little bit of a fragrance, but it's a good fragrance. It's like a pretty fragrance, not anything weird or off-putting or anything like that. But it's Meebak. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read it. It is the brand where Asian beauty rituals meet K-beauty technology. They combine traditional herbal remedies with modern science. So... you know,
moth flame.
Yes, but it has 290 almost 5-star reviews.
Okay.
It's a super calming anti-aging cream. It's formulated with the healing power of Centella Asiatica something to strengthen the skin barrier. But I really do feel like it's got hyaluronic acid in it. It has retinol in it. It has some niacinamide, which is for redness. And I feel like I've been using it morning and night, and it really has made my skin feel really good. And I have not felt a difference from switching to the Skin by Blair to the Cica cream.
Okay.
They're equally moisturizing. They make my skin feel equally good. So that took care of that. My other issue was the Sunday Riley vitamin C, which I love, but I was like, maybe I need to find a less expensive vitamin C option. Because Caroline is also digging into my vitamin C. And so I actually Googled best vitamin C serums, and this one popped up, and I just got it yesterday. So the verdict is still out, but it's called Nourish Max. And it's a vitamin C, B, and E plus ferulic serum. And it came up as the number one rated vitamin C serum.
Okay.
Of all of them, like people rated it higher than SkinCeuticals. They rated it higher than Sunday Riley. They rated it higher than all like the ones that I've been hearing about. And for like a small thing of it, it's like $50 instead of $100 and something. And it comes in a dropper. Wow. Now it does not smell citrusy like the Sunday Riley, which I really miss. But anyway, we'll see how it does. But it has really great reviews. So I thought, well, I'm going to give Nourish Max. I'm going to give you a try.
Okay. I love that. I just reordered today. I wish I had talked to you about this morning, because I just reordered today my Sunday Riley CEO moisturizer. And I thought the same thing. I was like, God, it's so expensive. It's so good. And I had tried a couple of other things just over the course of the last couple of weeks, as I was trying to preserve the last of my Sunday Riley, but there was just, again, the smell, everything about it is just
so good. It's so good. But I will say, because I think here's what I've learned after consistently using vitamin C on my face, and you hear all my beauty bloggers and Instagrammers that I follow, I really do think topical vitamin C is the most game-changing thing you can put on your face every day.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. So I'll let you know how the Nourish Max goes. The consistency and the smell and all that reminds me of the SkinCeuticals. But the SkinCeuticals is super pricey. So
I think I'm going to make note of both of those things.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll let you know. So I'm on a journey. I'm on a skincare journey to try some budget skincare and just see if it can produce some of the same results, because I hate, you know, and the thing is, I don't mind Caroline using my, you know, I'm a believer in beauty products at all ages. But I'm like, if we're going to share, then we're going to need to find something, right. you know, because I mean, her philosophy too is, since she's not paying for it, is if some is good, then a lot is
right.
better.
More is always so. Better. Yes.
Yes. So.
Well, I went into the Sephora. We went to Hudson Yards. I can't remember what day that was. I think it was Friday. Just to walk around and before we went to dinner and all that kind of stuff. And so I went in the Sephora and I asked the girl, because I went straight to the NARS Creamy Concealer because, you know, I haven't ordered it yet. And I said, and she said, can I help you with anything? I said, well, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
I said, I have wanted to try this NARS Creamy Concealer because I've heard that it is better for people who have fine lines around their eyes and stuff like that. And she said, well, what do you use right now? And I said, I use Shape Tape, which, as you know, you can only buy at Ulta. And she said, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. She said, I have found the NARS Creamy Concealer on me to be very drying.
Oh,
she said, so if you have a tendency to have drier skin, she said, don't tell anybody here, but I actually went to Ulta a couple of days ago and tried the Shape Tape. She said, I was just kind of playing around with it, blending it, seeing how it worked. And she said, and I really liked how it sat on my skin better. So that's just an FYI for everyone.
Okay, that's good to know.
So anyway, so I didn't buy it, all that to say.
Okay,
but
all right, well.
I did reorder today something that I have used for the last year. And I don't think I've mentioned it, but I struggle with like trying to find, you know, like I don't like to wear foundation because it feels so heavy. But I feel like I need a little coverage sometimes, like because of redness or whatever. And so about a year ago at Blue Mercury here in Birmingham, I bought the Hourglass Illusion. How do you say it? I can't say it.
Hyaluronic acid.
Well, yeah. So it's a hyaluronic, I didn't say it right. Whatever, skin tint.
Okay.
And it's kind of a cross between a CC cream and a tinted moisturizer. It's just got a little bit more coverage than a tinted moisturizer. And so I'll put my concealer on in the morning and get that good and blend it in. And then I'll just put, like, honestly, just like I'll put a pea-sized amount on my left wrist and just kind of pat that and blend it in on my cheeks and my chin and my forehead just to kind of even out color and all that and put just a tiny bit of I'll just brush a little bit of pressed powder on top of it to set it.
Yeah.
But I love it because it does have better coverage than like your average tinted moisturizer. My skin has really liked it. And it finishes, like, I like the way it finishes. It doesn't look cakey. It doesn't settle in and like get, it's just a nice, easy product to use. It's a little pricey, but I used it for a year. So before I started to run out. So if anybody is looking in the market for something like that, they have it at Sephora too. And I would go and I think always with that kind of stuff, I would go to a store and sample the colors to see what works for you.
Yeah.
But I wear the, which one do I wear? Let me look. I wear Shell. So, anyway, it's a really good product if you like a little something more than just moisturizer and concealer, but you don't necessarily like to wear like a full foundation. So,
okay. That is me. You've just described me. That's how I feel. I hate wearing a foundation. And I know that it, like, you know, can make you look better or whatever, but I don't like the heavy feeling of it.
I don't either. So, and, you know, when I think about the fact that when I was in college, listen, I wore Merle Norman, like, powder base. You know, like, full face of makeup. But you can still see your skin through this. It just kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but it just coats it just enough so that you have a little bit of evenness. But your skin doesn't get hidden beneath it. So.
Okay.
And
I like
listen,
that.
We work hard to keep this skin in condition where we're not embarrassed for it to show, right? Like we work hard.
That's right.
So.
Where it can show. Yeah. Where it can show just a little bit. So. Well, I've been using, I like that Charlotte Tilbury makes that Healthy Glow. And that's a good, it's like a tint, a moisturizing tint. And that to me is a good one in terms of it gives you like, it evens out your complexion, but it still doesn't make you feel like you're wearing a lot of makeup. And supposedly it goes on gray and it kind of tints down to whatever your skin tone is. But that's another one that Caroline has been helping herself to, out of my makeup.
What's
bag
it called?
Every morning.
Charlotte Tilbury, what?
healthy glow.
Okay.
And it's just billed as like a moisturizing tint or like a hydrating tint. So, and it says it's unisex. So really even, I guess Perry could use it.
Sure.
Which I have a good image of that, but, mm-hmm. But no, I like it. And I, in fact, I'm on my second tube of that because I like it so much. It's a great, it's just a great, when I'm running out of the house and I just put on sunscreen and then I put that on. And so it just gives me a little bit of a glow, mm-hmm. but it's not makeup.
Or if you just need a little bit of a glow when you play Best Fiends and watch the morning show.
That's right.
Works for that too.
That's exactly right. So I know I went to do my laundry, I guess, over the weekend after all week. And I was like, well, all this is pajamas. Like, it's all it's like 10 days worth of just pajamas.
Well, okay. Listen, it's good work if you can get it. That's what I'll tell
yep.
you.
Yep.
So. Alrighty, y'all. Well, we have covered some ground, I feel like.
From we have.
New York to television to apps and games and makeup and all the things.
I don't really know what else you could ask for.
Did you catch that ask for? It was it was a very dramatic four. It's because you've been watching the morning show. You've learned to deliver the news with a certain cadence.
Mm-hmm. To enunciate clearly. Mm-hmm. Next time on Big Boo Ass, on the Big Boo Cast.
I'm leaving that in.
And that's why I'm not doing the morning news, apparently. Goodness gracious. All right.
We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.